Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we desire to have that deep and that personal relationship with you. Lord, that relationship that even goes beyond our understanding. We desire to know you with all of our heart and all of our strength, O God. Help us, Father, to be able to put aside every work of the flesh in our lives, everything that interferes, everything which gets in the way, everything that's an obstacle, O God, that we would put you foremost and in the front of all of our life and our worship, O God. We desire to have the deep personal relationship with you, Lord. We desire to get to know you in greater ways, Father, that we would dig in deeper, search harder, work harder, Father, to get to know you in a deeper and a more personal way. Help us, Father, to put aside everything that interferes, that's in the way, O God. We love you, O Lord. We desire you, O Lord. We want you, O Lord, in our lives. We bless you, Holy One. We bless you, O Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let our heart be yours, O God. Let our hearts be sold out to you, O God. In Yeshua's name. Thank you, Lord. All the youngins can be dismissed quietly. No running. No screaming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There we go. That was pretty good. You remember earlier in the service, I had mentioned, what would you do if you only had 20 minutes to live? So I hope you've been thinking about that a little bit. I'm not going to give you a quiz or anything, but it's something I wanted you to think about. Let's go ahead and go to prayer. Father, in the name of Yeshua, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, we praise you, we exalt you, we worship you, we give you all the glory and honor, we give you all the praise and worship and majesty. Lord, I pray that you give each one of us understanding and discerning minds. Give us eyes that see beyond our flesh into the realm of your Ruach, your Spirit. Give us ears, Father, that go beyond hearing, that we would listen intently for that still quiet voice of the Lord. Give us lips, Lord, that speak your love and truth. May your words be planted on fertile soil upon our hearts, that we might produce good fruit for your name's sake. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, in Yeshua's name. Amen. So what would you do if you had only 20 minutes to live? Last Saturday morning, just after 8 a.m. local time, a Hawaii State employee hit the wrong button on a computer during a shift change and accidentally set off an alert that went across all the cell phones in the state of Hawaii, as well as television and radio and other things. And this accidental pushing of this wrong button stated that a ballistic missile attack, a strike, was about to happen. For nearly 40 minutes, scores of people in Hawaii thought that the world was going to end. This is the whole state of Hawaii. It was on everyone's cell phones, announced everywhere. This missile is coming. Ballistic missile is coming. And this is what it said across everyone's cell phone. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. And the Lord said, in all caps, to the island chain of 1.4 million people, seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. Wow. Can you imagine that? The officials finally canceled the alert. But it wasn't until about 40 minutes later did they send a retraction. But everybody had already received it. And the news continued to proliferate as all the frightened residents, they called their friends, they called their family members. Panic was throughout the whole island of Hawaii. Parents were trying to figure out what they could do with their children. Where can I hide my kids? What are we going to do to protect them? And there was panic everywhere. They were trying to hide their kids under everything they could find. Families, they cowered together in fear and they began to pray with one another. You know, North Korea had threatened to send nuclear missiles to Hawaii, and it's estimated that it would take only 20 minutes for a missile to get from North Korea to Hawaii. Only 20 minutes. So what would you do if you only had 20 minutes to live? You just got this announcement on your cell phone, TV, radio, missiles coming, North Korea. It only takes 20 minutes to get there. You only have 20 in your mind. You only have 20 minutes left to live. What would you do? Would you call on the name of God? Would you ask for forgiveness of your sins? Oh, Lord, I've been such a sinner, Lord. Forgive me of all my sins, Lord. The world's coming to the end. I'm so sorry, Lord. How about would you contact your loved ones? Maybe you get on their phone and you start calling your loved ones and tell them how much you love them because you knew the end was near. You know, eternity could come as close as someone pushing a button and sending a ballistic missile from thousands of miles away to your own backyard. Just someone just pushing a button. Some crazy person somewhere bent on hellfire and destruction just pushing that button. And here comes this missile at thousands of miles an hour. And in an instant, and in a flash, it's all over. That quick. In an instant, in a flash. You know, the scriptures speak of things happening in an instant and in a flash. As fast as a twinkling of an eye, the scripture tells us. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. You shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, at the last shofar. For the shofar, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. You know, this is how the Messiah, Yeshua, is going to return to this earth. Scripture tells us that he's going to come at a day, at an hour, and an instant where we don't know. We don't understand. It's unknown to us. And it could be as soon as today, it could be. Or maybe it could be tomorrow, next week, or even years down the road. However, whenever Yeshua does return, we need to be ready in an instant, in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye. We need to be ready. And we need to be ready to go, to depart, to be with him in that flash. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, in regard to Yeshua's coming, says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, he says that the night is far spent. In other words, the night's nearly over. The day is at hand. It's almost here, people. Therefore, we are to cast off all the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of his light. In other words, the day is upon us, people. It's almost here. We need to cast off all the evil, all the darkness, all the wickedness from our lives. Everything that inhibits us, everything that holds us down, everything that gets in our way, every obstacle, everything of the flesh and the evil one. We need to cast all this darkness from us and put on the armor of his light. We need to wear the light of Yeshua. We need to be ready. Put on that full armor of God, because Adonai is coming. And he's coming. And he's coming soon. And it says that he's coming to judge the earth. And he's coming to judge all mankind. You know, Yeshua makes the analogy about a thief to explain about his return. You know, a thief breaks in when we expect him at the least opportune time, at the least time that we'd expect a thief, he'll come in. A thief likes to come in darkness, when everyone's asleep, all the babies are put to bed, the dogs are on their back with their feet up in the air snoring. The thief likes to come in at the time that we expect him least, when we're unprepared and we're not expecting, we're unsuspecting. Matthew 24, verse 42, Yeshua says, therefore stay alert, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known at what time the thief was coming, if we knew what time the thief was going to break in, wouldn't we be there ready for him? Maybe we'll be there ready with a shotgun, I don't know. Baseball bat? Or maybe with a Bible in our hands to tell them. Or a Bible in one hand and the bat in the other hand. Be prepared. So if we would have known, we would have kept the watch, it says, and not let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you don't expect him at all. You know, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, also used the same analogy about a thief in the night. In 1 Thessalonians 5:1, but this, he's talking about the return of Messiah as well. I remember the movie, A Thief in the Night. Anyone remember that movie? Back, I remember when we first saw that movie, I think that was made in the 70s, A Thief in the Night. We watch it now and it's so corny. It really is. It's so dated and it's so corny, but it put that thought in our mind that what if the Lord just came in an instant? Would we go to be with the Lord, or would we be left behind? And Rav Shaul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you have no need for anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. When they are saying, when everyone is saying, when the world is saying peace and shalom and blessing and prosperity, shalom and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them like a woman having birth pains in the womb. There is no way they will escape, but you, and he's talking to each one of you in this room, but you, brothers and sisters, you are not in the dark, so that the day may overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night or of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others sleep, but let us remain on the alert, sober-minded. Let's be ready. Let's be prepared. Our eyes open, aware of our surroundings, what's taking place, what's going to be happening. For those who sleep, they sleep at night. And those who get drunk, they get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, we are children of the day of the light, let us be sober-minded, putting on a breastplate of faithfulness and love, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not destine us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. He died for us so that whether we may be awake or we may be asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just in fact, as you are doing. So someday Yeshua is going to return. Again, I don't know the hour. People all the time try to come up with methods of determining when Yeshua is coming. All the time, 88 reasons why Yeshua is coming in 88. I don't know, you all remember that? I don't know when he's coming, but he's coming. You can be assured of that. And he's going to be coming in a flash and in a twinkling of an eye. It's kind of funny. As I was actually preparing this message, I was working on a Tuesday. There was another emergency alert that was broadcast on Tuesday. A lot of people don't know about this. However, this time it took place in Japan. And Japan, they're also panicking because Japan is so close to North Korea. And North Korea is firing missiles over Japan, test missiles, and threatening Tokyo all the time. So I was writing this on Tuesday. And the news from Tokyo came and said, Japan's public broadcaster mistakenly sent an alert Tuesday warning citizens of a North Korean missile launch and urging them to seek immediate shelter. Then, several minutes later, they corrected it. And this was just days after a very similar thing was done in Hawaii. It was bizarre, because I was just preparing this, and this came. I got it in some news. And it said that NHK Television, which is their public broadcasting, issued the alert on the internet, on mobile news sites, as well as on Twitter, saying that North Korea appeared to have fired a missile at Japan. And it said the government was telling everyone to evacuate and take shelter. And it said, North Korea appears to have fired a missile, adding that a government warning has been issued. And the government said, seek shelter inside buildings and in basements. I remember growing up in the 60s, we used to have practice drills in the schools in Chicago. And we used to we would get under our little wooden desk and put our head between our legs, and that was supposed to protect us from a nuclear blast. Anyone remember doing that? I don't think that would have protected you very well. You make yourself feel a little bit better there. Again, seek shelter inside buildings and basements. Again, this triggered panic in Japan. People were scared, panicking. What are we going to do? What about our kids? What's going on? And correcting the error, NHK said, the flash was a mistake. We are very sorry. We are very sorry. I probably want to go over there and slap somebody, right? What do you mean you're sorry? The whole island's in panic. Interestingly, they used a word here. The report speaks of the flash. The flash was a mistake. It's a very appropriate word because, again, a flash is a sudden, brief burst of bright light. And, of course, that's what you'd get with a nuclear explosion, a sudden, brief burst of bright light. But this is also reminiscent here of how the Messiah, Yeshua, is going to appear in the end days. It's going to be a sudden, brief burst of bright light. He's going to appear. And we're going to, at the same time, go to be with him in that burst, that flash of light. A sudden, brief burst of bright light. It's a day many of us are looking forward to. But it's also a day that many of us fear, especially those who have turned away from this free gift of God's great salvation. You know, the world that we live in today is in great turmoil. It really is. People are worried. People are scared. And they're wondering, are we on the brink of world war? Is global warming going to destroy the environment? What about world famine and the spread of disease? And oh my, those poor polar bears, they look so skinny. You've all seen those pictures of the polar bears? Maybe some of you didn't. But they're showing how global warming is killing everybody and everything, and all the polar bears are walking around and they weigh 5 pounds. They're all skin and bones, showing what we're doing to our environment. You know, from a worldly perspective, the days we live in look pretty scary, don't they? These days we live in look very, very scary. However, the Lord wants us to see things from His perspective. And He wants us to use these times to our advantage in order to reach the lost. This is a great time of opportunity in the world because the world is terrified and the world is scared and they want to hear a good message. They want to hear good news, something that's going to help them, change them, something that's going to give them hope. People today are looking for answers to all these questions and they're seeking the world for solutions, but the world doesn't have the solutions. The world does not have the answers. Sadly, the world can only offer sadness and despair. And the only hope lies in our faith and our trust in God and the redemption that He sent through Yeshua the Messiah. That's the only hope. That's the only answer. The world has no answers for us. You know, when faced with the thought of eternity, what are people going to seek after? And we find in this world today, some find comfort or they find consolation in times of distress or sadness in pleasures of this world, in recreational drugs and free love and making money and more money and having cars and boats and motorcycles and big homes, things and more things. This is what they look for comfort and consolation in times of trouble and distress. What can we offer the world looking for answers to life's issues and life's problems? What is it that we can give the world? What is the hope that we as believers have that we can share that will change lives? Billy Graham wrote, For the believer, there is hope beyond the grave, because Yeshua the Messiah has opened the door to heaven for us by his death and resurrection. He goes on to say, for the believer, Yeshua's death on that tree, on the cross, tells us that God understands our suffering. He understands it. For he took upon himself on that tree all of our sins and all of our failures and all of our sufferings. The Lord hung on that tree and asked the question, why? Why, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he received his answer. He knew what that answer was. To redeem the world. To save you and to save me from sins. To give us assurance that if we died at this moment, that we are going to be with the Lord forever. He was saying as he hung on that tree, I love you and I know the heartaches and I know the sorrows and I know the pains and I know what you're going through and I know what you feel. It tells us there is hope for eternal life because Messiah, Yeshua, has conquered death and God has triumphed over evil and death and hell. This is our hope and this is the hope that we have available to us that we can share with a world that's looking for answers as they fear all the things happening around us today, as they see all the craziness, as we see that the world can be over in just a flash and a twinkling of an eye. The world is looking for answers and we have the answers that we can share and the answer is in Yeshua, the Messiah. Hope is found in the promises that God has given us. Promises of freedom from sin. We can find so much hope in Scripture through the gift of eternal life made possible through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah. No matter what trials or temptations or pain that we go through or we suffer, we can always hold onto the hope that God extends to us. Here's five scriptures that demonstrate the hope that we can find in Yeshua the Messiah. And the world is looking for hope at this time. They're looking for answers. The first is 1 John 5:13 and 14. 1 John 5:13 and 14 says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Secondly, in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7, it says, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. In His great mercy, He caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead. An incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading inheritance has been reserved in heaven for you. By trusting, you are being protected by God's power for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this greatly, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. These trials are so that the true metal of your faith, far more valuable than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, may come to light in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah. A third scripture is from Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. These are scriptures that demonstrate the hope we have in Yeshua the Messiah. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not for yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's a free gift of God. It's not based on deeds, nothing that you can do or I can do, so that no one, that we can't boast, for we are His workmanship created in Messiah Yeshua for good deeds which God prepared beforehand, so that we might walk in them. Fourthly, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18 says, 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore don't lose heart, people. Though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our trouble, light and momentary, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond any comparison. As we look not at what can be seen, but what can't be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. The promises that we have, being in the presence of God, which we can't now see now with our physical eyes, that is eternal. That's the hope, that's the promise that we have. And lastly, John chapter 4, verse 13 through 14. John 4, 13 says, Yeshua replied to her, this is the woman at the well. Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become a fountain of water within him, springing up to eternal life. God's power within us, God's ruach, his spirit within us is going to well up within us as an overflowing fountain from our life, and it's going to spew forth, and that water is going to spray on everyone, that living water that our lives will touch so many, that we might spew that fountain from our life and soak people with the Spirit of the living God. Going back to my earlier question, what would you do if you only had 20 minutes to live? Again, would you call on the name of God? Would you repent of your sins and beg Him for forgiveness? Would you contact your loved ones? Hopefully, prayerfully, we're never going to be faced with a scenario like this. However, why take chances with our eternity and where we're going to reside forever? Why take chances? I mean, it may not happen this way, but it may. The world we live in is scary. All it takes is some crazy maniac to push the button, and then everybody in the world is going to push the button. One after another retaliating, until thousands and thousands and thousands of missiles are flying back and forth between Europe and the United States and Russia and Africa and all the world, and in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, it's all over. Now, I'm not here, I don't want to scare you to death, but if I scare death out of you, that's good. I want you to focus on what's important, and that is, if you only had those short time to live, the 20 minutes, what would you do? You know, as I stand here right now, I have someone in my heart at this very moment. I'm thinking about somebody who needs salvation, someone who's very dear to me that I love with all of my heart. I'm thinking of this person who needs salvation right now. Would I call that person if I only had 20 minutes to live and try to convince this person to accept Yeshua? Would I do that? And if so, why wait till the last minute? Why not do it now? Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he says, at a favorable time, I listened to you. In a day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is that favorable time. Behold, now is that day of salvation. So if you would do that, if you only had a short 20 minutes to live, you'd call that special someone and try to convince them, don't wait for that to take place. Do it now. Do it now. Now is the day of salvation. You don't have tomorrow. You may not have the next moment. Now is when you need to be doing it. Now is when you need to be sharing the love of God. Now is the time when you need to be talking about Yeshua and what he's done in your life and what he can do in someone else's life. Don't wait for the last minute at that twinkling of an eye, at that great flash, that burst of sudden light. Do it now. 20 minutes could last an eternity, or 20 minutes could be over in a flash, in a sudden brief burst of bright light. Just don't wait till it's too late. Do it now. Do it now. Let God use you. Let God speak to you. Let him use you to be a vessel that will touch and change somebody's life. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I pray, Lord, that each one of us would have taken these words to heart today. Lord, I don't know that any of us would know exactly what we would do if faced with 20 minutes to live and eternity staring down at us. But I pray, Lord, in the name of Yeshua, that we would take this to heart and not wait for 20 minutes left to live. Not wait for the last.